Good morning and welcome to our podcast. We refer to as manna, that which we need each day for our sustenance, if you will. Anyway, God bless you and thank you for joining us today. As we're looking through, as we walk through the book of Proverbs, we take a look at God's wisdom, if you will, through the lens of Proverbs. And so today we're going to begin Proverbs chapter 17, which I've titled the chapter of contentment, to consider, is there contentment in my life? And if there is, what's the source of that contentment? And so let's pray and we'll get into our study. Father, thank you for the treasure of your word and how it causes us to consider the things of life, the things that you long to pour into our lives, but yet are we willing to open the doorway to our hearts and our minds to allow your word to saturate our thoughts and your spirit to captivate our spirits, Lord, our will, that we surrender to you and trust in your will for our lives. So we ask that you would bless our time now in your word. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. So let's just jump right in. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. And so the chapter starts off with recognizing the importance of appreciating little. A little. You know, that we don't have to find contentment in a lot, but there's depth to that message. And so we want to see what that depth is as we walk through this. Because we recognize that, as the passage says, that it's better to have a dry morsel and with quiet, without contention, compared to a house full of feasting, but there's strife. There's conflict that's going on because of continual, if you will, pursuit of more. And so Paul writes for us in the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He writes an interesting verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, something I think many of you will be familiar with. But it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So God is saying there is a place where you can have great gain, but it's not in the acquiring of possessions or fame or influence. It's actually contentment is satisfaction, but it's satisfaction in something. And so what is it that you are fully satisfied in? Well, God is saying very clearly, he's saying, I want you to be fully satisfied with godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, let me change that word godliness to a name. But Jesus with contentment is great gain. You see, when we look at the passage just preceding that, we see that there's conflict and strife and difficulty when people start adding to Jesus. So let me read this for us. It says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the teaching that accords with godliness. See, godliness is the teaching of Jesus himself, both his instruction, but who he is. So it says that if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, that's a lack of trust, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. So what they're saying is if they have great material wealth and gain, then that is a recognition of godliness. Well, that's not what God's word is saying here. That's not what Paul is communicating, and that's definitely not what the writer of Proverbs is saying whatsoever. It's saying, no, what you find is when there's more than just Jesus, more than what is just the word of God, then you find contention. You find quarrels with words. You find where there's not commonality. And what you find is constant friction among people who they don't realize, but they're depraved. They're deprived of the truth of who Christ is. And so Paul is saying contentment is very simple. If you look at the object of what brings you contentment, and that object that Paul is saying that brings true contentment, but godliness with contentment is great gain, but Jesus with contentment, I'm satisfied in Jesus. That's what is great gain. That's what God says. That's the greatest gain that we could have. And so one of the things that Paul does is, excuse me, in the book of Philippians, another very familiar passage for many, many people. I'm sure the last verse will be something that will resonate. But Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 4 as he's writing to encourage the believer. He says in verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Because he doesn't have to worry about the situation creating the contentment. No, his contentment is found in his relationship with Christ. So his circumstances aren't what bring him contentment. It's the object of his satisfaction, and that's Jesus. So let's keep going. And it says, and I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound, and in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hungry, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see the key? The key to unlock contentment in your life is Jesus. And so that's the message of the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, as he says, let your relationship with God be that which satisfies you. You don't need more than your relationship with Christ. It's not Christ and. So many different religions, and I mean religions that people are buy into, is that you have to have more. You have to do more. You do, and then God is going to be satisfied with you. No, God is satisfied with the Son. Just as God the Father said on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John were there, and they witnessed, and they heard this voice saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." If God is well pleased with the Son, we should be well pleased with the Son. Amen? So let's go back, 17, verse 2. It says, "A servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully." Well, that only stands to reason, because a servant who's dealing wisely is one who's content, whose strength is not in them, but in their relationship with God. And it says, and they will share an inheritance as one of the brothers. The crucible, verse 3, is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests the hearts. God allows the circumstances of life to test our hearts. What does our heart reflect? Well, in verse 4, it says, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to mischievous tongues. Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker, and he who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. It says, man, if that's where you're finding contentment, if that's where you find satisfaction, is in the difficulty for others, then what's the true test, if you will, what's the true nature of your heart? Well, God is saying that that true nature is not one that's filled up with him, but it's filled up with other things. So, hey, we're going to pull up right there as we're out of time today and say, seek Jesus as the source of your contentment. God bless you, and thank you for joining me today.